Two of Britain's biggest companies apologize for slavery links and pledge donations to charity groups. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Lloyd's of London, one of the world's biggest insurance groups, and Greene King, a UK pub chain giant, have apologized for their links to the slave trade. One of Greene King's founders owned a number of plantations in the Caribbean, while Maritime Insurance, which was focused at Lloyd's, thrived on the transatlantic slave trade. The BBC's Suping Chan explains how those ties came back into focus.
It's important to remember that this information isn't new. So University College London, one of the top universities here in the UK, has been working on a project since 2009, looking at exactly who, and I'm talking about the slave owners here, who received compensation from the taxpayer when slavery was abolished in the British Empire 200 years ago. Now, the sums involved here were huge, billions of dollars in today's money. And the amount of money Britain had to borrow to do this was so large that it wasn't actually paid off until 2015. Now, this database is extremely comprehensive. And one of the details in it is that pub owner Greene King and the Lloyd's of London insurance market profited from slavery and were duly compensated when it was abolished.
And how have these two companies responded?
So Nick McKenzie, Greene King's chief executive, said it is inexcusable that one of our founders, that's Benjamin Greene, profited from slavery and argued against its abolition in the 1800s. It's saying it's changing its history on its website to reflect that. Now, Lloyd's also said there were aspects of its history that it wasn't proud of. In a statement, it said this was an appalling and shameful period of English history, as well as our own, and we condemn the indefensible wrongdoing that occurred during this period. Both companies say they will provide financial support to charities and organisations promoting opportunity and inclusion for people of colour.
As you say, though, these aren't the only two companies in this database. Who else is listed?
Yeah, it's a pretty comprehensive database. It revealed the identities of 47,000 slave owners. Very varied, some businessmen, including in some cases clergymen as well, but also people linked to many of the banks you see on British high streets today. Obviously, pressure has been growing on the corporate world to address links to slavery and tackle racial inequality following the death of George Floyd in the US. And things like this shine a light on a legacy that really stretches back over hundreds of years.
The BBC's Suping Chan, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Checking financial markets, global shares are little changed. London's FTSE 100 is down 0.3%. Ahead of a Bank of England meeting today, it's expected to keep interest rates at historic lows but expand its bond buying program. Meanwhile, shares of Chinese e-commerce giant JD.com soared nearly 6% in their Hong Kong trading debut today. It's raised almost $4 billion in the second biggest IPO of the year. No child should go hungry. That's the message from English soccer star Marcus Rashford, who this week successfully went up against the UK government in a campaign to help the hungriest kids get access to food during the coronavirus crisis. He explained his passion comes from his own childhood experiences.
My mum was a single parent. She's got five kids that was all living in the same house. I remember we used to go to a shop called Pound World and everything was under a pound. And, you know, we sort of schedule out the week. So we'd get seven yogurts and you can have one yogurt a day, and she'd done the best she could within the circumstances. But there's some families out there like me that have four or five kids, so it's literally impossible to take control of the situation. You know, that this is all going on at a time where kids should be concentrating on schoolwork, and we're in 2020 now, and it's just something that I don't believe should be happening.
His campaign prompted the government to extend a program that provides free school meals for 1.3 million children in England during summer vacation. But Marcus believes more should be done. Rebecca McDonald is a senior economist at the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. She says the government should direct another $3 a day to each of the 8 million children living in poverty.
We think this could be a really vital lifeline for many of these children through this crisis. That's enough to cover their breakfast and lunch, or to help them buy books and resources as they carry on with school at home. We've found that many of these children and their families are currently having to cut back on food and essentials because of this pandemic, and this would help them and support them through this.
And your research shows it isn't just food, but it's also family spending that's mounting for books and things like homeschooling during the pandemic and energy bills that have become higher with people working from home.
Yes, exactly. So our research shows the reality of life in this pandemic for many people. And for many of these families, we found that the majority of them are facing extra costs. So, you know, suddenly there's double the number of mouths to feed or lots more people using the internet or needing books for school. And as a result, most families that we spoke to are having to cut back. And the majority of them are also now needing to borrow to stay afloat. And the reason for that is that on top of already having tight budgets before the pandemic hit, now there's this double whammy of loss of income as jobs are affected, and at the same time, these additional costs. And it's that combination that's making it such a difficult time.
Rebecca McDonald, senior economist at the Joseph Rowntree Foundation. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Finally, schools are still shut in many parts of the world, but that didn't stop one Malaysian student from sitting her college exams. Viviona Mozabin lives in an area where getting online is tough, so she built a fort on a hill where she could get connected. On the day of the exam, though, the wind knocked the fort over, so she climbed a tree where she took the exam instead. Now that's dedication. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.